Let us seek the Lord's face in prayer as we come to his word. And Father, what a change comes into a life and a heart when Jesus enters in. Lord, we just thank thee for that, and we bless thee, Lord, that maybe we're not, Lord, what we ought to be, but Lord, we thank thee we're not what we once were. And we bless thee, Lord, for many tonight who can read their titles clear to mansions in the sky, and there's a light in the valley of death now for them. And we pray, Lord, tonight as we bring forth thy word, that everybody will be able to sing that of a truth, because they've trusted in Christ as their personal Savior, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Help us, Lord, by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we're just a clay vessel. Lord, fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Make us a channel of blessing, we pray. And we'll give thee the praise, the honor, and every bit of the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For many, the Psalm 23 is one of the best books of the Bible, if not the best. It's known as the Shepherd's Psalm and has been a favorite down through the centuries to many of God's people. A great comfort and consolation in every time of trouble or trial, sickness or bereavement. And we've derived much comfort for it. In describing the Lord as a shepherd, David wrote out of his own experience, because David could recall his early days when he was a shepherd himself, and he realized that the sheep completely depended upon the shepherd for everything, for provision, for guidance, and for protection. And as David thought in this, he was inspired to write, "The Lord is my shepherd." No matter about anybody else, the Lord is my shepherd. And as David contemplates on this psalm and what he's writing, he reveals to us just the care and the protection and the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for his people. For he is the great shepherd, the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. There's three thoughts tonight from this psalm that we want to look at. We can't get into the psalm in depth. It's an overview, but I trust the Lord will bless us and encourage us in it and challenge some hearts afresh tonight. Notice verse 1, there's a special relationship. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I hold that this is the most important verse of the psalm. Because if we can't say of a truth, "The Lord is my shepherd," then really what follows is not applicable to our hearts. It's very important that we're able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, the shepherd in the East and at those times had a very close interest in his sheep. And in fact, many shepherds owned the sheep and he looked after them. In fact, he loved them so much that he was willing to lay down his life on the line for the sheep. And we read of two occasions when David put his life in jeopardy for the lambs. A bear came and a lion came to take away the lambs, and he defeated both and slew both those animals. Such was his love for the sheep. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, you know, when sheep get into danger, the hireling, the man that's just looking after the sheep for money, when he sees the animals coming, he'll flee. But the good shepherd loveth his sheep and giveth himself for them. The shepherd knew his sheep by name. John chapter 10 and verse 3. He calleth his own sheep by name. And there's many here tonight, and you can remember that time in your experience when you heard the call of God to salvation. He called you by your name. There's a lovely portion in John chapter 20. It's the resurrection. And Mary Magdalene, she's down at the tomb, and she's looking for the body of the Savior, and she might anoint him. And she sees the Lord Jesus. She doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. And he says to her, "Why weepest thou?" And she said, If you've taken him away, let me know so I can come and take him away. And I often think to myself, where would Mary have taken him to? But anyway, she was in distress. And she turned her back again and was looking into the tomb. And Jesus said, Mary. And immediately she said, Rabboni. She knew the Lord. He calls his own sheep by name. And the night the Lord called you, or the day, you knew it was the Lord. He was calling his sheep by name. Now, David here is referring to a relationship with the Lord. And first of all, it's a personal relationship. That's what salvation is. Salvation is not knowing creeds or going to a particular church and paying so much in every week. Salvation is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the psalmist could say, the Lord is my shepherd. And you say, well, how did David know that the Lord was going to be his Savior? Well, of course, it was promised. This relationship was promised way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Remember there, after the sin of Adam and Eve, and God had killed an innocent animal and shed its blood and used the skins to clothe Adam and Eve. A wonderful type of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in Calvary. And then Genesis 3 and 15, the Lord says to the devil, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that's the first promise of salvation. It's the promise of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was perfectly fulfilled at the place called Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ defeated Satan, and he defeated sin. And when he rose again, he defeated death. It was perfectly fulfilled. It was the seed of the woman. It wasn't the seed of the man, pointing to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was a promised relationship, a personal relationship. Tell me tonight, have you that personal relationship with the Lord? I'm not asking you tonight, do you know about him? I'm just asking you tonight, do you know him personally? Have you a time in your life, in your experience, when you came as a sinner to Christ? Realized you were undone, that you were a sinner, that you were cut off from God, but that Christ is the Savior of sinners. Have you trusted in him tonight? There's been quite a few funerals over this past time. Portobogie's had two. They've had them in Newton Ards. And you know, as I stand over the open grave and I just say to myself, what would it matter what that person had achieved in life? What position, what power, what riches, what glory? If they haven't got Christ. You need to know him as your personal Savior. It was a promised relationship. And in John 3:16, the Lord gives this promise that whosoever believeth in him, that is Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For the alternative to salvation is damnation, is to be lost for all eternity. But Jesus gives this promise. Whosoever, I love that word, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 6 and 37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. There are none that are turned away from Christ that come. He invites us, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. You know, to listen to some people, you think that Christ came into the world to destroy their lives, to make them miserable. And he said, I am come that ye might have life, that ye might have it more abundantly. Personal relationship, a promised relationship. It was a purchased relationship. John chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The shepherd owns the sheep and is committed unto them. He came not to be served, but to serve. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He said, I came not to destroy the world, but that the world through me might be saved. That's God's desire tonight. He said in the Old Testament, I desire not the death of the wicked, but rather the wicked would turn from his evil ways and live. That's God's love for you tonight. God's love. What a love tonight. God so loved. And sometimes, you know, when things happen, people say, where's the love of God in this? God gave his Son, his unique Son, his only Son, his begotten Son on the cross for the sins of many. He offered him up freely for his all. Greater love hath no man than that. What was the price for your salvation and mine? Well, I'll tell you something, that was a price we couldn't pay. It was the price of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. He must die. He came into the world to die. He was born to die. Because there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Jesus only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And how did he do it? At the cross, where he yielded up his life for ransom for many. Where's the love of God? Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Never seems to amaze me that Christ loved me and gave himself for me. And you know, if I had to have been the only sinner in the world, Christ would still have had to went to the cross and offer up himself, the spotless Lamb of God, who knew no sin and did no sin, and could do no sin. But for sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 5 and verse 10, for when we were enemies, just think of it tonight, when we were enemies, enemies to God, enemies to grace, never thought of salvation or anything else, just so busy getting on with the Lord, with the world and our sin. No time for God. And it says, while we're yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his cross. You know one thing that every child of God has now? Something that this world is craving for and yet spurns is peace. That's what every child of God has. And every child of God in this meeting tonight, they can put their head in the pillow, and it doesn't matter what happens through the night, they're safe with God. If God should call them, I'll be absent in the body, present with the Lord, and they had kind of peace through all the trials of life. Remember Peter? That Herod had already taken the life of James, and Peter's in prison, he's held by four quartarians of soldiers, and he's next in line. He's in death row. And Peter's fallen asleep. He wasn't worried. The Lord was his shepherd. Whatever the Lord had laid out for him, that was all right. It would be perfect. And you and I can have that peace of God that passes all understanding and keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Personal relationship. Promised relationship. It's a permanent relationship. I love that tonight. A permanent relationship. I give unto them, that is his sheep, believers, eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, I never went very far in education, but I know one thing. Eternal means forever and forever, and there's no end. And so if the Lord saved me, he saved me eternally. Is it possible to be saved today and lost tomorrow? No, it's not. And to tell you the truth, I wouldn't like to believe that. Because I've been up some mornings and I would feel anything but saved. I don't know about you. But some mornings, you know, I might be the best morning person. And, you know, if I was to go by my feelings, well, I'd be sure candidate for hell. But the Lord says, I give unto them. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. Now, you wouldn't give anybody a gift at Christmas time or in birthdays and then say a week or two later, by the way, I'm a wee bit of difficulties, could you give me the present back? You wouldn't do that. And how much more God? Listen to this, Romans 11 and 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What he gives never takes back. He gives unto his sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He not only died, lived for us, and died for us. He's our advocate with the Father. He's our great high priest, and he's praying for us. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last day. That word uttermost in that verse, Hebrews 7:25, it means complete or finished. It's the same word that Christ spoke on the cross. It is finished. What was finished? The work of redemption. The price was paid for our salvation. It's finished. It's a finished work. It's complete. And so we can thank God tonight that Jesus has given unto his sheep eternal life. And someone said tonight, well, Lord, we're not sinless, and we're not that, and we have many a fault. But I tell you, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen to these wonderful words of Paul in Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. And when God says nothing, he means nothing. Death nor life. There'll be nothing separate us from God during our lifetime. And mind you, we all have our troubles and our trials and our tribulations and our persecutions. Neither the pleasures of life on the one hand or the persecutions on the other hand is going to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Neither principalities nor powers, the evil spirits, Satan himself, he can't separate us from the love of God. We're in the hand of God, and we're in the hand of Christ. And we're not going to be lost. We're not going to be lost. Neither height nor depth, neither the height of prosperity and position, nor the depths of adversity and disgrace. Like himself, Christ's love for us is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, sometimes we feel the Lord and we just wonder, could the Lord love me? Well, we're loved with an everlasting love. We sang about that tonight. And he loved us ere we knew him. And he loved us loves us just the same tonight as the day we were ever saved. With the same love, it's unchanging and it's unchangeable. So we have a special relationship. Wouldn't you say that was special tonight? Having a friend that never leaves you or forsakes you, has promised it. In the ups and downs of life, he's always there. He's always there. He promised it. I'll not leave thee nor forsake thee. And then there's a supply of every requirement. We read in verse 1 of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the Lord withholds no good thing from them that walk uprightly. He has promised, as Philippians 4:16, to supply our every need. How? By the Lord Jesus Christ, by his riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. And there's never anybody yet exhausted the storehouses of God. You never will. He hasn't promised to meet our greed, but he's promised to meet our need. And that's in life. The psalmist could say, leadeth me beside to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Just a place for the sheep need to be sustained and to be helped. That's where the Lord leads them. And he leads you and I the same way. And then he meets every spiritual need. All that we need is in Christ. It's in Christ. And then in death, God's grace is sufficient. The late Reverend John Wiley used to say, you know, God gives you grace to live, and he'll give you grace to die. But he only gives you it when you need it, not 2 or 3 years beforehand. Isn't that true? You find God's grace in life is just there when you need it. And it'll be the same in death. God's grace will be sufficient as you and I pass from the scene of time. And we look at this verse 4, and there's much encouragement in it. Yea, though I walk. There's no hurry here. There's no anxiety. There's no hassle here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. A shadow. Now, if you met a shadow of a lion down the street, you wouldn't be one bit afraid, sure you wouldn't. It's only a shadow. There's no substance. If you met the real thing, well, you would be. You would have room to be troubled. But a shadow, it can't hurt you. And for the child of God, death is but the gateway to glory. And the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and staff, they comfort me. And of course, to have a shadow, there has to be a light. There has to be a light to cast a shadow. And the light in the valley of the shadow is the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He's our light. He will lighten up the way. He'll take us safely through the valley. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I come again, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It's coming. Certainly again, the Lord will be with us. The Lord will bless us. No fear. I will fear no evil. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself. The Lord is coming again at the resurrection. And all those that are alive and remain at the Lord shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And those that have been dead in Christ, their bodies shall be resurrected. And we'll all rise together to meet the Lord in the air. But does the Lord not come at death? The Lord doesn't leave us to go through Jordan alone. He'll be there with us each step of the way. A supply of every requirement. Isn't that good? We're living in terrible times, economic times, and all the rest. We're living in an awful day of spiritual declension and wickedness. But God has promised to be with us, and we're just to look up and keep our eyes on the Lord. And the ark, there was only one window, and it was above. It was above. So we are to keep looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And then finally, there's a splendid residence. Notice verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a place, heaven. And we refer to it as home. You know, when you ever go on holidays or on your long journey, you've been away for a few days, and maybe you've been away somewhere foreign, and you know how it is in the last day or so? You just want to get home, don't you? It's home, you want to get home. And you see, when you're coming down the road and you see your house, it's great, isn't it? Just to be home. Well, brothers and sisters, we're heading home, and that's what we're looking for. Yes, there's a work to be done in the meantime, but we're looking forward to home. It's a special place. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. That preparation was made at the cross. And Jesus is preparing a mansion for me in glory. And neither Stephen nor Gordon are going to get it. It's mine. They'll get their own. But there's a mansion. It's there. It's a splendid residence. Not only because of its beauty. And we're told that the gates are of pure gold and the walls are of jasper, the ground. Remember Joe Thompson used to say, you know, there'll be that much gold in heaven, we'll be walking under our feet. And the beauty of heaven, but you know the real beauty of heaven and the real desire is Christ. Is Christ. And I often think of people leaving the scene of time and we're all going down that road. First thing they say when they open their eyes in glory is the Saviour who loved them and gave themselves for him. That's who we want to see. Beautiful place, but we'll see Christ and we'll tell the story saved by grace. And then it's a special place because of what's not there. Revelation 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Not tremendous. There's a lot of sickness, a lot of sorrow, and a lot of tears that are shed in this life. We could say it's a valley of tears. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But the troubles will all be passed. All be past. The pain will be gone. There's no doctors in heaven. There's no undertakers in heaven. They're all redundant. Because it's all gone. It's perfect bliss. And it's hard to imagine a place like that. And something else will not be there. There'll be no sin. And you see, that's where the gospel comes in. There's no sin in heaven. And how are you and I that are born in sin and shape and iniquity going to get there? Again, that personal relationship with Christ. We need to repent of our sin and believe the gospel and take Christ as our Savior. Nothing that the final shall enter in. No sin there. Could you imagine it going to work tomorrow and you never hear a bad word? You'd never hear a curse. You'd never hear anybody running somebody down or somebody gossiping about somebody else. Gone through the day and no sin. It's almost unbelievable, isn't it? That's what heaven's going to be. And we're all going to get on very well. You know, some people down here, and they think they're the only ones going to heaven. But every child of God is going to heaven. Blood-washed child. Those that have a personal relationship in Christ. This, let me say tonight, have you that personal relationship with Christ? Do you know for dead on sure tonight, and you can know, that if you were to die tonight, that you would be in heaven? And there are some people say, well, that's been presumptuous to say that. No, it's nothing of the sort. It's just taking God at his word. It's just taking him at his word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Personal relationship. The supply of every requirement and a splendid residence. Haven't we the best of everything? Shouldn't we be rejoicing tonight in God our Saviour? May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening.